Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week my guest is Camilla Bike, MBE. Camilla runs a project called Podium.me, an award-winning audio platform which provides training to audio makers, journalists, and writers under 25 years old. And recently, they've released 5 short audio drama podcasts written by new young writers under the banner My Podium. Later in this episode, we'll hear about how the My Podium dramas came about and an extract from one, Open, by Emily Reader. But first, I ask Camilla how Podium.me started.
Well, Podium.me started as a bit of an experiment because I noticed that young people were often being talked about but were rarely being heard from in the mainstream media. So I started by just using my phone to record interesting conversations with teenagers that I knew or local schools on topics that were perhaps in the news or perhaps things that they just wanted to talk about. And it grew from there. We got involved in universities and then in other countries. And so it's been an amazing journey, sort of really since the beginning of podcasting. About 14 years ago, we started to where we are now.
And it's a platform for under 25s, isn't it? And you mentioned there that young people were talked about, but not to. So tell me, that's obviously one of the reasons, but tell me why you felt that under 25s needed this platform.
I think the decade from 15 to 25 is very formative. You're working out who you are, what your opinions are, who you want to be in the world, what voice you have. And that period of time is often not heard from by those who make decisions, perhaps even by parents, by government. And I felt that to be able to capture those voices at that stage could be a really powerful way of telling the stories of a generation. So hence why I have a sort of a decade span. People can start at 15, 16, and they finish with us at 25. And lots of people dip in and out during that period of time. And we see the progression of who they are and what they're into. And of course, the conversations change. You know, 14 years ago, conversations were quite different from what they are now.
The narrative, particularly for young people, changes all the time, doesn't it? It's massive. But this is a platform that helps people get into the audio industry, into podcasting, into journalism as well. We'll talk a bit about that in a moment, but it also helps people get into audio drama. And that's what these My Podium podcasts are. They're little mini sort of 15-minute dramas, but they're marking a very special anniversary.
That's right. We made the dramas during the time of COVID and after, and they are all set in a period of lockdown, sort of maybe a loose lockdown or a strong lockdown. And it's now 5 years since the first lockdown happened in March 2020. So it felt like a really good time to launch a sort of look back, really, kind of almost like a historical retelling of what times were like. And some of us have forgotten it, and some of us, it's still a very recent memory. So the dramas are powerful ways of retelling a story without getting into personal stories.
How did you find the new writers that have put together these? It's 5, isn't it? 5. I've listened to 3 of them and I love them. So yeah, there's five. How did you find those writers?
So the way we found our writers was slightly by accident. We set out to do workshops all over the UK. So we had young people meeting up with us in Edinburgh, Belfast, Derby, Oxford, and then it was going to be London, the last venue. And the idea was to encourage young writers who'd perhaps never written a drama play, an audio drama before, to have a go and to use sound in a very different way, because obviously writing for audio drama is very different from writing for theatre or film. So we set up these workshops in person around the UK. And then when it came to the final one in London, that was due to be in April 2020. So obviously it got cancelled and the writing workshop went online, which was an extraordinary time because no one had heard of Zoom. People didn't know how to deliver training online. And suddenly we had many, many more people coming than could have come in person. And we had people waking up in Australia with their alarms to be able to join the audio drama workshop. And so due to COVID, we actually increased our reach massively. And the direction of Podium.me really changed as a result of that. we then thought, we've got all these writers and they're crying out for community and projects. They all wanted homework. So instead of it being a one-off workshop, we then did weekly workshops all the way through that first 3 months of lockdown and built a really strong group of writers. And in order to do a sort of finale, we decided to have a competition. Every writer was encouraged to send in a 12 to 15 minute play that they had written set in their own home area during a time of COVID. So that was the brief. And the five writers that we have now made the plays of, they were the best of the whole lot that got sent in.
And the workshop was funded as well, wasn't it?
That's right. We applied to 21st Century Fox. This is probably about 6 years ago now. And they funded the workshops. Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge name to fund the workshops. That's incredible.
And we were very lucky. We were invited to apply. I met somebody who knew what they were looking for in terms of reach and writing. New writing is something that they really want to invest in. So we seemed to fit the bill. So we applied and we were fortunate enough to get that funded.
One of the ones I listened to was the one set in the cafe down in Folkestone. And it was actually recorded on location in a real cafe in Folkestone, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was recorded in Botti's Cafe. It was a friend of the sound recordist, and they gave us a lovely mates rates to hire the cafe out for the day. And they were an incredible host and were able to have obviously real coffee machine noise and real clattering cutlery and the sort of the sounds of a cafe and sort of the fridge hum, which we wouldn't have been able to do kind of adding sounds afterwards, or it certainly would have sounded very different. We could have done it.
So that's one of the things about audio drama, though, is you have that richness of sound, that soundscaping. And I felt that on all the ones that I've listened to so far.
I'm so glad. I mean, I've learned so much through this. It's been a childhood dream of mine to be a drama producer, audio dramas. I mean, I started when I was five and now I'm doing it finally. But it's so much harder than I thought, because you've got so many elements that can go wrong in terms of sound. And some of the scenes in the Folkestone one were actually set outside. And of course, there are seagulls, which is lovely if you can add the seagulls, but not so lovely if you've got no control over them. So we had people walking in the park shouting. We had children crying. It was, you know, it was hard. And then, of course, it starts raining. And, you know, hence why the other four dramas are all recorded in the safety of a really cozy studio with separate mics, which was another experience in itself.
But they've still got soundscaping on them as well. The one set in Scotland where they're in the car and then they're in the hospital. And yeah, there's a lot of texture to them.
Absolutely. And our editor for the four that were done in the studio, Matt Clark, is an absolute genius. And he managed to find all of those sounds and make it really realistic. And we really sense that audio drama is moving in a very exciting new direction, particularly for this age group. It's quite an untapped medium, really. I mean, obviously there are audio dramas out there, but there's so much more that can be done. So I'm really excited to be working with young writers kind of who are experimenting. And I think there's going to be a lot of good new stuff coming out, hopefully on my podium.
About bloody time. How long does it take to make an espresso?
They only just taught me how to use the machine.
Well, at least you have good taste in cake. Here, hand those over. Thank you.
If you don't have the app, I need to take down your information.
I didn't realise this was a police investigation.
My manager says I have to.
Well, at least take off that mask. I can't bear talking to people I can't see.
I can't.
Well, I'm sure your acne isn't that bad.
I can't afford to get in trouble again.
You're outside. It's fine. I just want to see and hear you properly. Is that so much to ask?
Right. Happy?
Ecstatic.
Can I get your name?
You forgot something.
What?
Can you get my name, please?
Right. Your name, please.
Vanessa Ridley. Vanessa. What's yours?
My name.
Is it such a difficult question?
It's May.
Nice to meet you, May. That's how we used to start conversations, you know.
Email?
There's no point giving you that. I never check it.
Calm.
Calm?
You know, cool. Fine, great.
Right. Does that mean this interrogation is over then?
Yeah, sorry. I think that's yours.
What?
Your phone. It's ringing.
It must be your mobile.
No one under 25 leaves their sound on.
Oh, hold these then.
Why? I'm not a coffee table.
Where is it? Purse? Tissues? Book? Ah. How do I...
You just swipe. No, you swipe left to right.
Hello?
And some of the plays have been aired on radio as well, haven't they?
That's right. So we built up links with 14 regional radio stations. That was part of an audio content fund bid that we put in a few years ago. We weren't successful with the bid, but we then knew that we had these relationships with all these radio stations. And so they were happy to still broadcast for us. So Summer Valley FM, Bradley Stoke Radio, Lionheart, Sound Art Radio, they're all fantastic local stations that wouldn't have the budgets to commission drama. You know, they're not Radio 4, they haven't got BBC budgets. So we were able to give them these dramas for free for them to air and for them to get a fantastic new audience.
And it must be so amazing for the young writers to hear, not just on the podcast, so it's coming out of Spotify or Apple or whatever, but to have them broadcast on a radio station. How did they feel about that?
They were absolutely thrilled. And what was really special is two of the stations actually got their local critics to come in and discuss every single one of the plays. So they would broadcast them Monday to Friday, a play a day at lunchtime. And then they also broadcast this group of critics, a bit like the media show or something, talking through what they'd enjoyed and, you know, what they found funny or sad or tragic. And, you know, for the writers to be able to get that kind of feedback, you know, live on air with other people sort of phoning in was really powerful. And we wouldn't have got that had we been on Radio 4. You know, you wouldn't get that element of interactivity.
These were all recorded professionally with professional actors as well. When you work as podium.me, not to say it's not professional, but people can just record on a smartphone. They don't need any special equipment. You've got a very open policy, haven't you, that anyone can have a go. How does that work?
So with podium.me, we have a no selection, no rejection policy. And that means that anybody can pitch an idea and we will support them to make their own episode. So, for example, I did an assembly for 100 Year 13s at Global Academy a couple of weeks ago. And a few of their students, we got them to live pitch with no warning on the stage to their peer group. And I've contacted all of them. So they'll be coming and making an episode of a podium podcast with us based on the pitches that they did. So I'm out giving opportunities. And so if people are brave enough to step out and say, this is what I want to do, then I will take them on.
Yeah, on your website, there's a video of several people talking about what podium means to them and how they started. And one person says they literally had a sock on the end of their phone. And I love that.
We basically say, use what you've got. And we've all now got incredible recording devices in our pockets all the time. And so I say to them, if you're on the bus and you overhear an interesting conversation, be bold, say, would you mind answering a few questions about that? And whip your phone out, tell them what you're going to do, get their audio consent, and off you go. So we're very spontaneous and we want to react to things as they happen. And we're not a news podcast. So we're very much about, you know, topics that will endure, that have a long shelf life. But it means that, yeah, everybody's always on. I'm recording all the time.
When I first started, I didn't know what a podcast was. So Camilla would have training days and it was very free, very free flowing. You could produce whatever you wanted. And, you know, you'd go about interviewing someone on your phone. You didn't need fancy equipment.
One of the most prominent memories I have was working on a piece about grammar schools. And I was able to go around interviewing people, vox popping for the first time. I remember how strange it was walking around on my phone with a sock over it. And it's that kind of curiosity, courage to be able to speak to strangers and learn more about their lives that I think has sown the seed of crafting the journalist that I am today.
I was associated with podium.me where I was doing my placement as a media intern. I got to learn so much from the entire team of Podium, especially when it came to creating impactful podcasts through easy and effective ways. And I also think that their very ethos and the belief that every voice counts and matters will be my biggest takeaway.
It means that people can capture stories wherever they go, as long as you've got one of these with us, and a sock, then we're okay. But I love that spontaneity about it. And I love the fact that anyone can make audio. You don't need fancy stuff. You just need a phone, which pretty much all of us have got. And away you go. It kind of breaks down those barriers. Reading about what you do and looking on your website, listening to the podcast and so forth, I very much feel that that's something that you champion, Camilla, that you want to break down the barriers that I think some people think there are to getting into the industry.
That's so right. And I find a lot of my young people, they tend to be the ones who might have been a bit quieter at school or struggled a bit at university. Not all of them. We've got people who've been, you know, high flyers all the way through as well. But because we have this policy of no selection, no rejection, it means that everybody has the same opportunity. And I really watch them all develop and find a voice that they often didn't know that they had. And I'm thinking of people who are perhaps neurodiverse and the way of learning at school just hasn't kind of suited them. Suddenly you give them the freedom to come up with an idea and record it and edit it. And you think, oh my gosh, you know, you have really smashed this. And so we make sure the quality is always really high. And that's my job, is to kind of to push them and to challenge them. Have you thought about this? And, you know, make sure the recording quality is good. But at the end of the day, it's their voices that we're putting out there. And, you know, they have a lot to say if you just give them the right platform, hence the name Podium.
I know you always want people to contact you, Camilla, and pitch ideas. How can they find you and how can they do that?
So our Instagram is at Podium, D-O-T-M-E, podium.me spelt out. And my email address is camilla.bike@podium.me. And I'm always happy to hear from people. We also have people who are over 25 who want to support the work that we're doing and just come and, you know, do some training and help, you know, help teach the next generations. So don't feel that you're excluded from the Podium family if you're not literally within that age bracket. Very happy to hear from anybody.
A big thank you to Camilla Bike for being my guest. You can find all five My Podium dramas wherever you get your pods or on their website, podium.me. And if you have an idea to pitch to Camilla, that email address again is camilla.bike@podium.me. Bike is spelt B-Y-K. Aria's tickets for the 14th of May have sold out now, but there's still just time to vote for the Radio Times Moment of the Year Award. Voting closes on the 1st of May. Go to radiotimes.com/audio/radio Aria's Moment of the Year 2025 vote. And if you want to know more about each of the 10 nominees, then have a listen to last week's podcast where we highlight each of them. I'll see you next week.